Yes, this is the Bible Quizzer Podcast. Thank you so kindly for joining us. I am joined today again by none other than Micah Folkers and David Roberts. We just got through the FBI or Falls Baptist Invitational Tournament. Coming out of that, we have Falls A as the champion out of Wisconsin, so congratulations to them. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the tournament in person, but our two guests today have. Without further ado, let's just jump right in. Micah, give me your key takeaways from the tournament, what you thought. And first, tell us your perspective at the tournament. What were you doing?
So I was the auditorium quiz master, which gave me a front row seat. So that was nice. First time doing that for a varsity level tournament. Honestly, the best quizzing I've seen in a very long time. Probably the best in at least 3 or 4 years. The level of the top six teams was just amazing. I felt like beyond Falls, who I kind of expected to win, the other five teams or so, really, it could have gone any direction. Maquoneague was obviously solid, although they didn't make it into the top three. But there was a new team from Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle down in Indiana. And of course, they had the Schultzes on their team. So Tabernacle got second, Greenville got third, and both of those teams were just very, very solid. It was amazing watching it go into the final rounds, Tabernacle versus Falls. It was basically Falls versus Falls with the Schultzes being there. But just a little different. It was kind of cool to see a new name there. And just lots of very solid teams all the way around. I felt like the level of jumps were really good. It wasn't like people were just jumping crazy. Like, for the most part, even towards the last few rounds, there were very few errors overall. It was just very clean quizzing. And the challenges were good. People were just, it was a great atmosphere. The attitudes were great. So I loved it. I thought it was a great tournament. I had a blast. Quizmastering was super fun. Loved the kids. They were a lot of fun too. So
awesome. Awesome. All right. Before we go to David's two cents on this, I want to go through the six teams at the top for our listeners' benefit. So coming in sixth place was Maquoneague B from Wisconsin. Coming in fifth place, Greenville B from South Carolina. Fourth place, Maquoneague A from Wisconsin. Third place, Greenville A, South Carolina. Second place, Tabernacle A from Indiana. And then, of course, the champions, Falls A from Wisconsin. David, did you have many takeaways from this tournament, and what was your perspective?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't get to watch the varsity as much as I would have liked to. I was initially going to be like a runner for office stats, but I ended up, they needed an extra scorekeeper down in junior varsity room. So I was actually scorekeeping for junior varsity for much of the day, but I did get to come in for the varsity, some of the top six rounds, and catch some of the quizzing. And I think what I saw from there was, I mean, Falls was really good. They were on top of their game, but also I think it should be mentioned, like, I think the teams are very even overall. Like Falls, they were really good, but they didn't necessarily, I mean, run away with that. I mean, they did lose one of the two team quizzes to the Tabernacle team, which I think shows how good Tabernacle was in the quizzing. Rarely made errors or mistakes, and they were right on top of their game. And I think one, Micah said, 1 through 5, 1 through 6, it was some of the best quizzing that we've seen in a long time. And I think it just goes to show, like, Bible quizzing is on an upward trend overall. And I think what was encouraging too was, there was a lot of, even in JV where I was, there was a lot of teams that were, knew their stuff very well. What they had memorized, they knew very well. They were quizzing very well over it. And I noticed that, actually, maybe a little piece of history that most of the listeners don't know, but Falls got their first low in three-team quizzing for, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years, which is, to go that long without getting a low is pretty crazy. So just the fact that they did get a low shows that maybe the quizzing is ramping up. But I'm sure I'll think of, I mean, probably the most noteworthy thing that jumped off the page to me was Greenville. They got in that top three and they have all the potential in the world. But somehow when they get up there with Falls, they can't win a big quiz when they absolutely needed to, when they're under pressure. And I think that's something they're probably going to try to really work on, because you can see that they have the potential to, it just doesn't come together. And I think if Greenville can work on that, maybe make a couple strategic adjustments, the tournament probably maybe could have been theirs, because they have a 1-2 punch and some solid quizzers. So that was my takeaway.
So you both mentioned parity in those top six teams. Micah said something interesting. He said he thought that the quizzing was clean. When I hear clean, I think that's absolutely beautiful because I hate it when there's just really, really nasty quizzes that get dragged on by errors, especially when they're kind of frivolous or could be avoidable. Micah, do you think the clean quizzing, as you said, was mostly because more quizzers sitting on the pads had their material better, or was it because it was a very slowed down environment across the three teams, and teams weren't being as aggressive?
I feel like to some degree it might have to do with the fact that quizzing is kind of rebuilding and there just hasn't been all of the momentum and the hyped up competition. Because when I was in quizzing, I remember there were just historically good teams that had been on a very long winning streak for a very long time, and just everybody was always really tense and everybody was always jumping really fast. And so our team had a real problem with that, and not just our team, but several other teams. I mean, I remember, I think Athens had kind of that, like, they got lucky a lot, but they were jumping really on the edge back in those days. And several other teams I can think of. Heritage was pretty stable, but at times they would get in a kind of a bad rut. I feel like now these are a lot of newer teams. Greenville is just kind of, they're coming to the surface, and they've always been like decent, but just in the past couple of years, they've really risen to the top. And so I just don't feel like the competition yet has risen to that level where everybody's scared, where everybody's quizzing scared. Now, obviously, David mentioned Greenville did kind of quiz scared the last couple of quizzes. Samuel Unger, I could tell. I mean, he's an amazing quizzer, really good. But I could see in him the same thing I could see in myself in old videos where I would just get freaked out in those last few quizzes. So I guess I would make an exception. Clean quizzing for the most part, just towards the end, a little bit rougher. But I just think it's because of the rebuilding. I think people just aren't used to jumping as fast yet. And a lot of these, I mean, Greenville's coming from PQA. PQA, you don't have to jump very fast. That's my theory.
Would you tend to agree with that, David?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, maybe the shorter material does help too if you have a higher chance of knowing it when you do jump. But I think what Micah said is kind of true. Like, you don't go into a quiz saying, oh, I have to face Heritage Mission and the Z team this quiz. It's going to be a super tough quiz. I mean, obviously, you know the teams you're going to be facing are good, but it's still not that like nostalgic, I guess you could say, like really good team in the
There aren't
past.
as many teams that strike fear into your heart when you hear their name. Falls might be the only one like that right now. I'm sure that'll change soon. Like, there are some teams that are really getting a reputation. But so far, I would say of the teams that were there, the only one who, if you hear their name, you're like, oh boy, that'd be Falls. And back when I was quizzing, there were several teams like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like it kind of goes with iconic quizzers too. So like with Athens, you hear the name Dalton, or with like you hear the name Lofgren with Heritage Mission.
So, do you both think that Falls is losing some of that edge, that they're less formidable? As David pointed out, which I would have to fact check this, but that seems right, except I seem to recall Falls getting a low at Squonnet, and I'd run a number that that was their first loss in a three-team quiz in a while. I want to say that was 2023, maybe, but you
Maybe
sound
with
pretty.
Lydia, maybe.
Yeah, I know that's pretty close. We overuse the word dominate our culture just way too much. It's like, oh, they dominate. Not really. Falls absolutely is worthy of that. So this year, we've already seen they didn't win the Great, or what was previously called the Great Lakes. That's what I remembered as in November. They got second to Ridgeview. They took a loss, albeit in the round robin for this tournament. And then they took another loss to Tabernacle in the two-team quiz. Just an assessment from an outsider's perspective, they don't look as untouchable as they have been in the past few years. Do you think other teams are starting to notice that and fear them less? Or is it still like, oh my goodness, we're against Falls, we have no chance whenever they sit down?
Yes and no. I think Falls is, I mean, Hannah Lynn's still just as dominant as ever. She's still a really good quizzer. I think maybe their supporting cast isn't quite as strong as in years past. I know Hannah Lynn quizzed out in one of those final quizzes pretty fast, and I think her supporting cast in the loss struggled to win the quiz. So I think their supporting cast might not be as strong. That partially happens when you lose like quizzers like the Schultzes. But I think the other teams have definitely taken a step forward from in years past. I mean, I think when you hear Falls, you still think it's going to be really hard to beat. But I think the other teams are definitely getting better and more. I mean, there's been some really key younger quizzers that have stepped up and made their teams better. So I think Falls is still really good. They're still a team to beat. But they might, I think teams are starting to feel like, hey, there's a glimmer of hope. We can do this.
Yeah, I agree.
Agree or disagree with me on this, just based off what you've said. The five teams that finished below Falls, Tabernacle A, Greenville A, Maquonago A, Greenville B, Maquonago B, could you see any of those teams beating Falls head to head? Is it that deep, or are we saying of those five, only like two or three you could realistically see beating them?
I mean, I could see them maybe, but I still think Falls is just so hard to beat. I could see Tabernacle. I mean, they beat them in two team quizzing, so I think we can say they could beat them. I think Maquonago, if they combine both of their teams, which they were separated in this tournament, they could have a chance. And Greenville, I think they could if they're on top of their game. And I think once you add in, like even some of the more teams, like once you get to Squanah, especially when you hopefully have every single major team at the tournament, I think that's going to be a fun tournament to look forward to. Even Colorado, seeing some of the California teams.
Yeah, probably three. I wouldn't say necessarily all the top six teams could beat Falls, but they could all beat each other. I would still put Falls a little bit ahead, a little bit ahead of all of them. I would say it's very unlikely that any other team could beat them, but they could all beat each other very, very
I think they
easily.
need to all be on top of their game to beat Falls, and hopefully Falls makes a couple of mistakes.
I think we've gotten to the point it's safe to say you're not going to beat Falls if you give them an inch. If you're not on your A game, you have a very small chance of doing it. That's why, I look at some of these teams and I think to myself, just based on what I've seen in the past or what you've said, they almost have to find themselves in a situation where they are the beneficiary of Falls' mistakes in order to compete. But we have seen, objectively speaking, Ridgeview has the capacity. Tabernacle A has the capacity, at least. You both seem to be bullish on Greenville A. We really haven't seen the AACS champions at First Baptist Long Beach in California or Faith Canoga Park. We won't see them till Colorado. So we've still got a lot of the unknown. You were both at each of the Wisconsin tournaments. Who's the second best team in the country right now? You've seen Ridgeview, you've seen Tabernacle A. Who's the second best team in the country? Or if you think that Ridgeview is the best team in the country and Falls won because Ridgeview is not at this tournament, feel free to share that opinion as well.
I mean, I think personally, Ridgeview and Tabernacle are set up very similarly. You have the main quizzers, definitely Blake and Sophia, and then you have a pretty solid supporting cast around them. And they're just very solid teams. They rarely make major mistakes. And that's why Tabernacle was so good, is because they kept themselves right in the game, never really made key mistakes. But if I'm picking, I think I have to go with probably Ridgeview as the second best team. I just think Blake is such a, he has the potential to just go off at any time. And I think Ridgeview, I would say Ridgeview is the second best team, but it's definitely very a toss up between them and Tabernacle for second and third place right now.
But it'd
I can.
definitely be an awesome matchup. I would love to see them quiz each other. Hopefully, we'll get to see that soon. Right now, for me, it's a total toss-up. I would have no idea. But I would go with Dave, probably. My gut would say Ridgeview, but really don't know.
Yeah, and to what you said earlier, Colin, about Falls, you can't really make mistakes. I think about the AFC Championship game last night was a perfect example. Like the Chiefs, if you make mistakes against them, you're not going to win, which I think that's kind of what it's like right now in Bible quiz.
Well, I appreciate your insights on the tournament. It sounds like we've had a pretty good one, upward trajectory, as Michael pointed out. Next up, we've got CI in February, and then more happening from there. I'm told they're expecting in the neighborhood of like 9 to 12 teams, so that's more than the past few years. That makes me excited. I'm planning to be at that. Micah, I think, is planning to go, and he'll take a team from Academy of Excellence. Is that right?
Hoping to, we'll have to see. Definitely hoping to.
Okay, and then David, are you planning to be at CI or negative?
I want to, but we'll see
Okay,
if it
all
works
right.
out.
Well, hope to see y'all there, but I will be at that one, able to provide more coverage. So, That was just the Falls Baptist Invitational in a nutshell. A new segment that we're going to start doing is called the Mailbag, where you can send in a question. We'll provide some more information on the future for this. But we had a question come in: what makes a good quiz master? So, kind of topic today, we'll just take 5, 10 minutes and dissect this. What makes a good quiz master? And we'll start off with David this time.
Right. I think one big thing that makes a good quiz master is you have to have an even cadence. I mean, from the quizzer's perspective, it's always nice to have that same cadence that you can rely on. I know even going into like David Douglas's room, I knew pretty much his cadence. I knew like if I jumped early, I would probably get a foul. Another thing I like is when the quiz master talks to each quizzer before the quiz. Kind of, sometimes it puts you at ease, sometimes it makes you even more nervous for the quiz ahead. But also, just you know that when a quiz master cares for you, like when you see a quiz master a lot, or even like certain quiz masters, you know they want you to do well. That's always an encouragement when you know they want you to do well. I think those are several key components. And also, just when someone gives an answer, being always the same about how you treat maybe like time, for instance, giving a consistent 10 seconds, just different things like that. Consistency is probably the biggest thing, and just a love for quizzing. You can usually tell when someone truly loves quizzing when they're quiz mastering. I guess I'll probably think of some more when I. As you guys talk.
Okay. And before Micah goes, I want to point out Micah, as the head quiz master at the Falls Baptist Invitational, has become a crowd favorite and received very positive feedback. So whatever he says about a good quiz master, he apparently possesses these traits. So want to point that out. If you want to model for a good new quiz master, Micah Fulkerson is your guy. Micah, what do you think?
Okay. I had thoughts and you wiped them from my mind. So, yeah, I would say, definitely echo the things that Dave said. Just a love for quizzing, being involved with the quizzers themselves, where they know that you're for them, that you're not at all partial to any team. Obviously, no quiz master is perfect. We're all human, and we're gonna make mistakes, and we're gonna be inconsistent sometimes, even though we try so hard not to be. I would say that one thing about on the matter of consistency, you're setting yourself up for success if you're just strict from the get-go, especially if you're on the top level of quizzing, like varsity level, championship level quizzing. Then you're setting yourself up for success if you don't if you're not lenient in certain areas. Now, obviously, there's a certain level you can be lenient, but if you're lenient at the beginning, then it becomes harder at the end when it really matters, like towards the final rounds. Then that comes back to bite you. So it's better to just be consistent from the get-go, and they know what to expect, and nobody thinks you're playing favorites because there's no, oh, he started doing this now. Oh, he started accepting this. You've been the same all day. Also, just humility, because like I said, we all make mistakes, and knowing how to deal with your mistakes, like if somebody gives a challenge and honestly they are right, just being willing to take the challenge. I feel like taking challenges, like I was thankful that I was able to take a couple challenges on Saturday because of a few reasons. First of all, it can be tempting to just let your pride get in the way and say, oh, like if I take this challenge and they're gonna think, that I don't know what I'm doing, or they're gonna think that they can just take challenges all the time, or they're gonna challenge too much. But actually, I feel like it's the opposite. If you take a challenge, sometimes you're actually, if it makes sense to take it, you're actually discouraging future challenges because they can see, oh, that made sense. So you're actually reducing the amount of challenges in the future. Because sometimes I think when quizzers feel like, oh, the quiz master may or may not take it, or he didn't take that one, and they don't really get a sense of your logic, then they might just make a challenge more out of emotion, more out of like, I just gotta try something. But if they're really thinking and they know, okay, that made sense, he took that because it made sense, then when it really makes sense, I think they're going to take it. If you give into your pride and insecurity, it'll discourage quizzers. It doesn't help anything. And I think excessive challenges are a sign of like inexperience on the part of the quizzer sometimes, or just a sign of inconsistency on the part of quiz masters. Because sometimes quizmasters are inconsistent, so the quizzers really don't know what to do. And then also taking a challenge can also raise the quality of quizzing because you're encouraging critical thinking. And you're also raising the level of quizzing. At the beginning of the day, I tend to be a little more lenient on certain things, even on a specific reference question. I might give somebody the answer if it's not word perfect. But at some point during the day, somebody jumped and appealed my ruling on a specific reference question where I'd given it to them to the person and it was not word perfect. And I took their challenge and I was glad to take their challenge because they showed me that they were ready for a higher level of quizzing. And so to some degree, you kind of have to let the quizzers determine what level of quizzing they're going to be on. If they're smart enough and if they're with it enough to raise the level like that, then you just let them do that. But if they're not, I think it's okay to be a little more lenient sometimes too, as long as you can be consistent. So.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, of the appeals that you saw on Saturday, what percentage would you say that you actually accepted?
I probably got about six appeals and accepted two of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Probably. That's
Oh.
what I'm pretty sure. It wasn't too many. I didn't get too many appeals.
Okay, so
But
one out of three. That's higher than I thought it would be. I would guess the number in most cases, with the quiz masters that you would see at multiple major tournaments, I feel like the number would be somewhere between 10 and 20%. I feel like that's a pretty conservative estimate just because it seems like there's a low probability. Okay, so you both said consistency. I also agree with you there. I think it starts off with consistency and what the quiz master is doing as far as asking specific types of questions. Generally, how he evaluates the answers. Now, a lot of this you really can't analyze because you can't get inside of the quizmaster's brain. But having consistency from one question to the other and not going all over the place. So I've seen quizmasters before where question one would be according to John 3:16, who, and then the next one would be according to John 3:16, who, and you have at that point you're lucky if you don't have a light going off or all kinds of fouls, and that just that messes quizzers up. And I think that on the onset, be consistent. So I look at it this way. I think a good quiz master is there to be a minimum effect on the overall quiz. They want to have, I mean, as little of their touch on that quiz as possible. Whereas if it was any other quiz master, 99% of the time you would want the same result to happen.
Right.
Okay, that's
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
that's kind of how I view it. So what
Yep.
minimum effect can they have on that quiz? One of the things that I look for in a good quiz master that unfortunately I've experienced some bad ones. We had a quiz master come in one time. District, very local. I don't think I'd ever run into this gentleman again. But he came in the first quiz of the day, sat down. We'd never seen him before. And he started asking the question, and it was my team at the time. We were in high school, Temple in Tennessee. And another team who, didn't have the experience. They'd quiz before, but we all knew they just weren't at the level that we were that year. Well, the first question, one of my teammates gets up shortly after the reference, and whenever she got up to answer the question, he just like let out this deep sigh and kind of crossed his arms like he was mad. Well, she answered the question, and he says, "That's correct," but was very like frustrated about it. Well, question two, she gets up again with similar timing, gets it correct, and he puts his head down. Is still like huffing and puffing, and then he looks at her and goes, "Okay, if you don't let me ask all of the question, I'm just gonna make you answer the question with the information you have." In doing that, he had revealed to everyone that there's no way he had read the rules before the event, did not have like the slightest understanding what was going on. So, I looked at my teammates and my coach, and we were all like, "Okay, do we just wait for the whole question and have a jump off, or do we continue?" And, after the first quiz between the two coaches and, the other coach obviously had a couple other quiz events under her belt, and they both talked to him and they said, "This is kind of how it's supposed to go. This is what the quizzers expect. We think you're kind of messing them up doing this." And it got resolved, and that's the only time I've seen that quiz master. But I think just an understanding of the rules, I think it's mandatory, or it should be for tournaments. Read the rules as a quiz master. Know what you're doing before you show up. Reading the rules is important. So that one, consistency, similar to what Micah said, be humble. Understand that you go in with a servant's role of serving the quiz masters, all of the audience. You are there, like I said, to make a minimum effect, make judgment calls. Those kids have worked hours on their verses, and you don't want to penalize them for that in any way, shape, or form. You want to reward good answers. You rule back wrong on the incorrect answers, and don't leave any room for being accused of partial or anything like that. For appeals specifically, I put in my notes here. I would say don't be a pushover, but also don't be too rigid to accept any of the appeals. One time I heard a really good appeal to a quiz master. The quizzer did a good job, laying it out. And he denied the appeal on the basis of, quote, "What you said is not on my sheet." And I thought to myself, like, that's a horrible way to go about this. The quizzer did a good job. Everything they said made sense. They referred it back to a previous verse. It all lined up, and he just would not take it, and they were shocked. But stuff like that, just being impartial, being consistent. Like you said, I think a lot of it falls back on the quizzers. Sometimes quiz masters are just the easiest one to blame and say, "Oh, this, that, or the other." My thing is, there are aspects of a quiz master that people may not like, but those are subjective. So some examples of that would be, a quiz master is going to talk really fast. Most people are not going to change the way that they talk at the drop of a hat, okay? So an example of this that I've seen would be teams that are from the northern part of the US, and they go to an event such as Squanet, where they have quiz masters who have deep southern accents. They're going to talk a lot slower. And to the kids that are quizzing in South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, that's all good and great to them. They hear that every day. But these teams in the north, they think they're watching something in slow motion, and they can't adapt to it. There's a saying, you either adapt or die. In Bible quizzing, it's kind of like you either adapt or you get eliminated. And if you can't adjust to that, that's ultimately on you. And on the flip side, if you have a team from the south and they're used to a guy who's a lot slower paced, or he's not going to be as quick in going from one word to the next, and you get in with a guy who's going to talk 30 miles an hour, you've got to adjust to that. It's not up to all the other teams to slow down for you or speed up for you to get on the same level. That's up to the teams. So the subjective elements like speed, accent, how they're going to ask certain questions and their cadence, a lot of those things are subjective, and they vary from quizmaster to quizmaster. They're all not going to be the same from one room to the other, but that's up to the team to adapt to those. That's not really the quizmaster's problem. So I think what we've said across the board is, a good quizmaster is consistent, they're impartial, they know the rules, they love the game. Generally speaking, you want them to be humble, encouraging, not really arrogant on that. Michael, you said you had one more thing to add to that.
Yeah, I think it also helps if they're a former quizzer. I think former quizzers make the best quiz masters too, just because they don't necessarily need to read the rules because they've lived in those rules for so long and they're able to make the judgment calls from a quizzer's standpoint. They know what the quizzer is thinking. They can anticipate the appeals beforehand, so they know the appeal that might be coming, and they can even think ahead. If they know the scripture already, that is another huge plus, because if they know the scripture, they don't necessarily even need to look in their Bible if they're confident enough in it. And they can tell even right away and make faster judgment calls if what the quizzer said is not on their sheet and is in the actual scripture, and they know that's the best answer they could have given. So that really, definitely, all these things play to your advantage as a
Yeah,
quiz
I
master.
agree with that. I think that makes a, that's a really good point there. So good question there on the mailbag. Moving on to our next segment, we'll play our take it or leave it game. I will give you two take it or leave it's today. We'll go one at a time. You're going to tell me, do you take it or leave it? We'll start off with David on take it or leave it one. Tabernacle is a top three team at the end of the year. Taking it or leaving it?
Leave it. It's kind of tough for me just seeing them how well they quizzed at Falls to say that. But I think as you go later on in the year, I guess I don't know for sure if they're going to be at Colorado or not. I'm guessing they might be. But especially if they can do place in the top three at Colorado, I think they have a chance to be in the top three. But when it comes to Squonnet later on in the year, if they don't place in the top three, I have a hard time seeing them to finish in the top three. Now, I'm going partially based off the fact I just looked at the individual stats from the Falls tournament, and this kind of sounds crazy, but four of the top six quizzers were all from Aquantico. And I think if you combine them all in one team, that's going to be a team that's going to be hard to beat once you go later on in the year. So I can't, based off that information, it's hard for me to leave out Aquantico from my top three. So right now, if you're asking me, are they in the top three? I would say yes, they are. But at the end of the year, it's going to be hard for me to see them in the top three. Now, top four, yes, but top three, I don't know if I can see that right now.
Micah?
Yeah, I think I'll take it this time. I gotta take the other side so we can keep score. Yeah, I think I'll take this one. I think that they are probably strong enough to be a top three team the rest of the year. I do think Aquantico will be better once they start combining, but I think that it's not going to be significant enough to beat out Tabernacle in the top three. Ridgeview obviously is going to be good as well. So I know there's some teams we haven't seen yet. Faith, Canoga Park. I know Greenville can improve. But yeah, no, I'd say Tabernacle has as good of a chance as anybody does.
Yeah, I'm also
Yeah.
going to take this one, and here's why. With respect to David's answer on Maquantico, all the congregated top quizzers, to me, I don't think I value that as much because a lot of firepower on the same team does not necessarily mean they're going to perform like they would score all those excess points that those individual quizzers would provide. And I find that with very few exceptions like a 2016 Athens team, those teams tend to compete against themselves and kind of struggle in a lot of high pressure situations. So I don't know that I see Maquantico as a big threat to getting into that top three. I'm not saying they won't. They could very well beat Falls if they can quiz together with chemistry. But I look at it this way. I'm with you too. I think Falls is the only one you really hear that everybody's kind of afraid of, so to speak. But Tabernacle, back when the roster was under Falls, I was very impressed with the Schultzes. And I thought then that they might have been top five quizzers in the country. And now I think if that's the case and they are outside from the Van Gelderens, they are the top dogs on their team. And you both described them to me as a team that is very conservative or not likely to make mistakes. I think that's going to set them up really well, especially as this season is over Hebrews, 1st, and 2nd Peter, which has very few amount of verses compared to others in the 9-year cycle. Typically, you see more aggressive teams as the years go or as the year goes on for the season because it's little material. That's going to benefit a Tabernacle, I think. So as much as I want to say, like, I could see Ridgeview in there, I could see Greenville in there, I could see Maquantico in there, I could see a couple of the California teams in there, I want to stick one in the top three that I think is going to be more conservative and find themselves in situations where their ceiling might be second or third, but they're not going to drop down below that often because they're going to be more conservative. So I will take it. So we've got two takes and
I
one
feel
lead. Okay. So the second take it or leave it, I'm withdrawing myself on because I'll be quiz mastering there. Falls will take this momentum into February and win the Colorado Invitational. Last time we started with David, so let's start with Micah.
that's a tough one because there's so much unknown. Ridgeview and Faith Canoga Park. I think Faith will be there, but I don't know about Ridgeview. So honestly, it's a gamble. But I will probably take it. I think
Taking
Falls.
it. Okay.
I think I will. Yeah, they're very solid. I think they are beatable, but I mean that's about as safe of a guess as I can make, not having seen them compete with Faith Canoga Park, and also knowing that just over the course of the season, everybody gets better. So just because Ridgeview beat them at Maquantico doesn't mean that Ridgeview is necessarily the better team, or that they're not. It really could go either way, but I just feel like it's always safe to bet with Falls right now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'm gonna have to say, actually, I'll make my decision at the end and then explain my reasoning before I make the decision. But I think falls depth quizzers can definitely improve more. And I think that's probably where they're gonna make the biggest jump from falls to Colorado is their depth quizzers getting more of the material. I think Steven's probably gonna be a lot better at Colorado than he was at Falls. So I think Falls is gonna raise their ceiling, I guess you could not ceiling, but raise their floor at Colorado. So they're gonna be harder to beat. And as much as I maybe would like to see like a new like number one team or something, Falls is easily the best team in the country still right now. And without Richie there, that's another strong competitor that is gone. So I think I'm gonna have to say take it. Falls does maintain their top spot, and I'm going to say it's honestly dependent on Muckwonago because I feel like if Muckwonago improves a lot, it could be a battle. And we also don't know how the California teams are. So if the California teams are as advertised really good, I think Falls might not. But I think as of right now, what I've seen, Falls wins Colorado.
I guess both of you are implying this. With the unknowns of California, you don't see them coming out of nowhere and being at or better than the level you've seen or predict falls to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's I guess I just know Falls and how good they are, and especially not quizzing against them. It's going to be hard just coming into a tournament and matching up against Falls right out of the gate.
Falls has had a little more practice against the tougher teams already this season. And I don't really know exactly what the landscape is in California as far as like what other tough teams there are besides Canoga Park. I know there's First Baptist Long Beach. Not really sure exactly how tough they are. I'm very confident that Faith Canoga Park has a great team. I know Grace Christian has known her stuff since April. Found that out after last podcast. And so I'm sure they're going to be out of this world good. But since I haven't seen them yet, and I have seen Falls, I'm just going to go with what I know.
So I don't know. Only time will tell if it's an advantage or disadvantage for the California teams. But Micah, you got something to add?
Yeah, so I'm pretty confident that Miss Kastner is probably watching this or listening to this. I mean, maybe some other California quizzes are, and if you are, maybe one good thing to do, which you might have already done, is look up some of those live streams and watch some quizzes. And then, if you know that you can come up with the answer off of their jump, then you know that you can compete with that team. Obviously, you had to be able to jump at that level to be able to compete with them. But if you can at least know that, hey, any of their jumps, if I jumped there, I could get the answer. That's actually a huge confidence boost as you're going against teams that you haven't faced all year. So it's kind of like watching tape. Like if you're, playing football or whatever the sport may be, watching the other teams, you have a chance to do that because there's been two live streams so far, two live stream tournaments, Muckwonago and Falls, and you can go back and watch either one of those and just see what the competition is going to look like. And that can really be an advantage. So then the surprise is going to be in your favor. So.
I like that. Use all the assets you have available.
Younger teams can win a tournament too.
Younger
So
team.
it's
Oh,
not like
yeah.
it's impossible.
It is not impossible, but it is tough.
Right.
I think anytime you have a team full of veterans like Falls is, just that level of experience makes them very tough to beat. All
Yep.
right. So that was our take it or leave it. Want to close out here. Just want to give a couple quick announcements or updates. So February, we've got the Colorado Invitational that should be happening Valentine's Day weekend, and then the Blue Ridge Invitational. That's a minor tournament that's going to happen that either the last weekend of February or first weekend of March, and then we roll right into Squana AACS later on in April. So the season is flying by, but all of those tournaments, all four of those, will be over all the material. Really looking forward to them. Planning to be at CI, should be at least one, maybe two of the other tournaments. Great season ahead of us, hopefully. I don't think, like we said in the last podcast, the FBI we won't consider a major, but CI, Squana, AACS, definitely as we kick off. Anything is still possible for these teams that are in there. There's no voting that's been done yet. CI is still ahead. Anything could happen. Any closing thoughts from you two before we get off here? All right. Well, this has been the Bible Quizzer Podcast. See ya.